This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Front Row on the Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Heng. For many of us who are uninitiated, it is likely that we clump all dancers coming from India under one rubric, Indian dancers, not being able to tell Odissi from Bharatanatyam, or Kathakali from Katha or Kuchipudi. This weekend at the Temple of Fine Arts, a Surya India Festival is being held, and my guests, two doctors, medical ones, Dr. Sibi and Dr. Danya Turairaja, are here to help throw light and educate me about Indian dances. First, Dr. Sibi, the organization responsible for this Surya Festival is Suparnam Arts. Who is Suparnam Arts and how old is this organization?
Suparnam Arts, it's an organization which is created in Malaysia by music lovers and art lovers. Started about 2004. Our main aim is to bring artists from India, professional classical artists from India, and also we do make sure the local artists are also collaborated and involved, and then do a joint production in all our programs. So Surya India Festival Malaysia, or the Malaysian chapter of Surya India Festival, is Suparnam Arts.
But there are other organizations performing dancers and training and teaching. You got Nosutra House, you got Temple of Fine Arts. So how does yours fit into this whole scheme of Indian dancing groups and performing arts in Malaysia and then collaborating with India?
Actually, see, Temple of Fine Arts is a huge organization. They teach for students, or they have their performances regularly there, and they do invite international artists from India, and they also send students to India to teach them. Similarly, in Sutra Foundation, there are many Aswara, there are so many associations and organizations doing. But we do not have a platform to teach the students. We only bring productions, the famous productions from India, and mainly from one banner, which is Surya India Festival, which is one of the largest art society in India, which is older than 40 years and who have branches in 23 countries, at present 36 countries, including Europe. So we only collaborate with those artists. And the founder, Surya Krishnamurthy, he is the one who is actually the founder of Surya Festival. He chooses the artist and he selects the production, and then we just bring those artists from there and we do the shows. That's what we do.
You are like an events organization company then.
You can say that, but it's not just the event. We also have other productions. We do also have local programs, like for Onam Festival of Malaysia. We have done so many other programs which is using only local artists. So we do that also.
Dr. Danya, you teach at the Temple of Fine Arts. You yourself dance. How popular is classical dancing amongst the young people?
Actually, to be honest, I do teach class for young kids as well as older adults. A lot of times, older adults come and enroll and join. And then after a few months, because of their commitments and their work and everything,
they sort of dwindle out.
Whereas the young kids are more consistent because the parents are there to push them to come for class. Whether there's a birthday party or there's something else, they are always there at class because the parents are pushing them. And because they are young, they get to learn faster, better. And also their bodies are
more flexible. Yeah. You know, when you get to a certain age, it becomes harder.
Not all the time, but yeah, it is true. And slowly they develop the interest and they grow into something different from what they started. Yes.
What kind of attrition rate do you get amongst the young?
Quite a lot, actually. We do have a lot of young kids joining dance, most probably because the parents want to keep their children within the culture, teach them about the culture and learn. Every Indian family has got the female children will learn to dance.
But not the boys?
Indian dance. The boys, they do learn as well, but some of them prefer to do drums and instruments and things like that. But we do have a lot of male students as well.
How long do these young people stay within the performing arts in the sense that they keep learning? For instance, it could be drumming, could be the dancing. It's like learning violin, yeah. You know, some say, I'll learn how to grade five, then bye-bye. And then maybe sometime down the road, then they realize, oh, how important it was to them, then they come back to it. But how long do these students stay?
Based on what I've seen, most of the time, they go up to their arangetram or where the graduation.
And how old is that when
usually
they graduate?
Usually about 17, 18, sometimes 20, 21. Usually it's like once they finish their Form 5 or they're furthering their education outside overseas or something like that, most of them kind of like dwindle off. But there are some who keep the interest and keep coming for classes and do keep performing and whatever.
Is there a need to find ways to engage young people in these kinds of cultural activities?
Definitely. Of course, being engaged in this kind of cultural activities keeps them away from unwanted...
You're sounding like a parent. I want them to be engaged in positive activities.
Okay, apart from that, also learning these kind of things also helps them with their, the left side of the brain, the right side of the brain. You know, you help to develop the brain into a more full-rounded individual, enrich their cultural experience, their cultural background. Being in the art school as well, you will definitely have performances. The experiences that you gain in practicing and getting scolding from the teachers and also, like, you know, performing, failing and doing well and, you know, all of those things form you into a better human being, a better person. That's why it's really important for me.
Now, you practice Western medicine. Is this part of a kind of Western way of thinking? Because traditionally, when we think of education in this part of the world, is you study your math, you study your sciences, you do well in your whatever languages. We are very much paper-driven, and we get our kids to sit down and write, or calculate.
That's very true.
And this performing arts that you're talking about, your right brain, left brain, is this something that is promoted by our doctors?
I don't think it's promoted by all doctors. However, from my own experience, I started learning dance at a young age, 9 years old, and I've been going on till today. I still dance throughout my medical school life. And
she looks so wonderful and young and glowing.
No, I remember being away in Australia the weekend before my final exams. I mean, Saturday, Sunday, I'm in Australia. Monday morning is my final exams. It's like... It became norm for me because our guru, who founded the institution, Swami Shantana, always pulled us away. Like, you know, at the peak of exams, your parents are like really stressed that it's going to be, oh my God, she's going to go away now. And tomorrow is the exam. Like, and it became like a normal thing. So much so that now, if I don't have it, I feel like, what am I doing with my time? I need to do something. I need to do, you know, it just stretches you and pushes you to do more things rather than just get stuck to the book and just writing, you know?
Yeah. Dr. Sibi, you practice Ayurveda medicine, traditional medicine. Is dancing a part of this also?
I would say any Indian system, like you take Ayurveda, it teaches so much about the lifestyle. It teaches so much about how you should take care of your, how important discipline is important in your life. It also talks about how you should be closer to the nature and how you should be grounded to the earth. So it basically teaches you that you should be very close to the art and the culture. Then only you can actually have a very healthy life. Just having only reading and only being into that is not sufficient enough for you. How to make sure that you should pray, you should exercise, you should eat on time, you should spend time in leisure things where it's more relaxing for your mind. Anything which is like Dr. Dhanya was telling, you know, when you're actually going for an exam, you're asking this child to study, concentrate, by heart it and repeat it and repeat it. He will be thinking and using his brain all the time into one. Definitely that will exhaust him. But in between, if he has the time to relax his mind into this kind of relaxing mode, like all Bharatanatyam, most of the classical dances are designed to relax your mind. Even the music selected, even the drums beating on that, even the ragas which is used, everything is so relaxing. Anywhere, any part of the world, any stress you have, if you listen to that song or listen to that music, and I think when you are under stress also, if you can just put the music and dance to the tune, it really relaxes you. There's nothing you can get. A tablet or a medicine may not be able to relax you like that.
Yes, definitely.
You know, I think parents who are out there listening and saying, oh, you got doctors here talking about the performing arts. There must be some truth about the importance of the performing arts in developing the child and not just about getting good grades.
Yes, there definitely is, yeah.
I want to come back and talk about the dancing itself. I'm speaking with Dr. Sibi and Dr. Danya. They are here because of this weekend's Surya Indian Festival at the Temple of Fine Arts. This event is organized by Supanam Arts. Coming up, we'll look at what's being offered at this festival. This is Front Row, The Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soo Heng, BFM 89.9. Listening to Front Row and the Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soo Heng with Dr. Sibi and Dr. Danya. Both are involved in this Sunday Surya Indian Festival. Where did this festival get its name from?
Surya India Festival is a name chosen from India itself. His name is actually Krishnamurti. He started Surya Foundation, then his name became Surya Krishnamurti. Now, that's how he is named, and that's how he is known. So this is actually originated from India.
When I first talked about all the different kinds of dancing, Odissi, and we mentioned that Kathakali, I assume that every dance from different regions, each has its own vocabulary. The offerings for this weekend are quite diverse also, right?
Yes.
What are the dances being offered?
There are four different kinds. Bharatanatyam. Odissi. Kuchipudi, and Kathak.
How can I tell one from the other? I'm speaking like this ignoramus, you know. Even with my own Chinese culture, yeah. I can tell it's a fan dance, it's a sleeve dance, but if you were to ask me which part of China it's from, blank. I assume amongst many Malaysians, we just see these dancers, we say they are cultural dancers, they are from India or they're from China, but we have no idea.
What is the difference? What are the differences?
Yeah.
There is very distinct differences. At the Temple of Finance, we do teach all the styles that is being performed this weekend. So first of all, Bharatanatyam is highlighted by the lines and the positions. The Arumandi is when you sit in a plié position, a demi-plié in ballet terms. And the lines of the Natyarumbe is very sharp and very defined lines. It's defined by its lines and its positions and the precision. Okay, that's Bharatanatyam. When it comes to Odissi, the distinct difference is the curvature, the tribangi, where the body is curved into three different areas, is bent in three different areas, forming the tribangi. Also, the costume that they use, they've got like a flower around their head here and a cone like that around their
head. That's the Odissi.
Yes. And also their face makeup, they've got like dots all around until the cheek. That's in Odissi.
I've seen a photograph of Ramli Ibrahim. He's got all these little paintwork on his face.
Yes, really beautiful. Yeah.
And then you have your Kuchipudi.
Kuchipudi actually is similar to Bharatanatyam. However, it is a little bit more softer and more graceful. Both are graceful. However, it's a little bit more gentle compared to Bharatanatyam. And it's a little bit more flowy compared to Bharatanatyam. You will be able to see the difference. If you see a Bharatanatyam performance first and then you see the Kuchipudi, you'll be able to see the difference.
They also use something.
They use like a tray to dance on the tray as well.
Are bells on the ankles, you know, are they in all dances?
All dancers use bells because rhythm is so important for dance, yeah.
And you have one more. You said there were four different types.
Kathak.
She's
Kathak
a Kathak teacher.
She's a Kathak teacher.
In the Temple of Finance. Kathak is very different from the other styles because they don't have that sitting position, the Arumandi or the Chauka. Arumandi is in Bharatanatyam, which is like a demi-plié. And Chauka is like a second position demi-plié.
Slightly wider.
Slightly wider. Whereas in Kathak, it's standing. Most of the time it's standing and it's very different in the sense of their spins, their chakras, pirouettes. And also the rhythms that they play with the drums and whatever, the footwork and the rhythms that they play with the drums.
So in Kathak, you stand more upright.
Yes.
I suppose it's so less bent in the knees.
Yes.
What can we tell from the costume? If, let's say, all four dancers step up on stage, can we tell by the costume that this is the dancer from Odissi, this is the dancer from Qatar? Can we tell? For instance, you already said that Odissi, there's this paint of dots
very
over the
clearly
face.
Clearly, you can see the difference from the makeup itself in Odissi, the dots on the face, and also their headdress. There's a distinct circular flower-like thing on their head with a cone. Straight away, when you see that, you know that's an Odissi dancer.
The costume, what does the costume tell us about the character or what the story will be about?
Actually, most of the time when it's pure dance or whatever that we see, they don't have like a distinct costume for different characters or whatever. The dancer portrays it through the expression or abhinaya or the feeling behind it. The costume itself usually changes when there's a dance drama or a dance production. For each different thing, they will wear a different costume. Usually, the Kathak dancer, the costume is usually like those angraka kind of top.
Okay, you need
like, which is like, it's like a Punjabi suit, but it's tight at the top and then flowy at the bottom. It's either that with churida pants, which is tight pants with bells, or they wear like a long ghagra. You've heard of ghagra? A top with
like a
skirt.
Full suit.
Yeah, a top with a skirt like that. Two different ways of wearing the costume. And they either put their nethi chutti, which is the jewellery on the head here, at the side, which is a Mughal influence, or in the center, which is an Indian thing.
Also, male dancers do wear the top. But in Kuchipudi and Bharatanatyam and Odissi, I think male dancers don't.
Yeah, they're bare body most of the time.
Most of the time. That is one way you can distinguish.
That's allowed, huh? Bare bodies. For this weekend, are we seeing dancers as dancers or dancers as part of a story?
You'll be seeing dancers as dancers. We have got three really great dancers from India, the Bharatanatyam, the Odissi, and the Kuchipudi. Yeah, first we have Meenakshi Srinivasan. She's a Bharatanatyam dancer and choreographer, exponent from India. She trained in the Pandanallur School of Bharatanatyam. Odissi dancer is also from India. She's from Kerala, Uttara Antarjanam. Uttara Antarjanam actually trained in Bharatanatyam and has a bachelor's degree in Bharatanatyam. But her passion for Odissi took her to Odisha, where she learned from Guru Ratikanta Mohapatra. And then we have Pratiksha Kashi, who's a Kuchipudi dancer. She learned under her own mother, Guru Vaijayanti Kashi, and obtained a scholarship to learn in advance her studies in Kuchipudi in India itself. Really great, renowned artists coming this
weekend. She also acted in Prakriti, the movie.
Are our local dancers involved in this festival?
Yes, from the Temple of Finance, we have the style of Kathak.
So you'll be dancing?
Yes, I will be dancing.
There are six of them, right?
There are six of us.
So on stage, when these invited guests will be dancing, will they be dancing solo performances or will they have a little ensemble with them all?
All the three from India, Pratiksha, Kashi, Uttara Antarjanam and Meenakshi Srinivasan, they all do three separate solos.
Kathak, and then Kathak is an ensemble.
Because we have more people here.
Yeah.
Why is there a need to have this festival tied in with a fundraiser?
Yeah, this is our 10th festival we are going to do this, 2016.
Each 10th festival with 10th. The same people, with the same Surya, or is just 10th?
Yeah, Surya. Okay. Surya festival. This is the 10th festival we are doing. Each year we have done with a cause to promote or to raise funds for an NGO organization, which is non-profit charity organizations. We have done for Malaysian Association for the Blind. We have done for Tunuzain charity organization. We also did for Cancer Vive Center Malaysia. This is our fourth time we are going to give it for the cancer charity organization. We have also done for Vivekananda School. So each time when we do, we are doing it with a cause. Of course, there are three aims we have. One is we are bringing international classical artists from India, and they do actually also do workshop here for the students to learn from them. And we also have local artists exposed to them to understand what are the styles and how do they come up in there, you know, to understand their struggle and their, you know, how do they manage to come up like that. And that's one aim, to incorporate them with the local artists. Second is that we are also trying to raise funds for organizations who are actually NGO organizations. Third, our most important thing is that we have understood, okay, this is Bharatanatyam. So there are also so many Bharatanatyam schools are there, so many teachers are there. They also have different style, you know, Alamiluvalli style is different. Then they have a different teacher. And so when like Padma Subramanyam is coming with a different style, Odissi also you have two, three different styles are there. So we also get to know and understand these legends are there who have been there for a long, long time. You can understand students are going to many different schools to learn. They have this fear. Will I be able to take this as a my profession? Will this give me a future to learn? Yeah. Can I make a living out of it? They have this fear always with them. Yeah. So we are trying to tell them, no.
That's the fear in the performing arts in this country and in most countries.
Yeah. So what they do is that they spend some time, learn something. They go into the debut, the Arangetram, and after that, they just slowly go out of it.
Correct.
So it doesn't give a strong foundation for them.
Agreed.
So when they learn from these legends who say, I am in this field for 50 years, 40 years, and these are my school, these are my... So it gives them confidence. So out of 100, maybe there is 10 to keep up the tradition.
Yeah.
And there will be at least 5 out of them who have the passion in the heart. And they really...
So the idea is to bring these dancers here and they become models for younger people.
Sure.
That there is a life that you can have in the performing arts.
Yeah, yeah. No doubt in that. They can.
In all your material, I did not see any information on how much are tickets.
Actually, for students, we are giving in a very... reduction price, like below 40 ringgits, like that. But we don't consider this as tickets. We are actually consider this as an invitation. So, because when these artists are coming from India, of course, we have to spend so much money on to bring them from
sure.
India, accommodation, and we have to pay them some pay. Because for them also, this is a living. We can't just expect them to give it free. So we do raise some funds from people who are like-minded, artists as well as organizations do support us. We also print some invitations on 50 ringgits and 100 ringgits like that.
And people will just pay at the door?
They can actually call also. If you're interested, you can buy from the same venue. You can also contact 012-6959-3443. If you are interested to take some invitations, they will help you.
Thank you both very much.
Thank you very much.
The 10th Surya Festival of India is being held at the Temple of Fine Arts in Brickfields this Sunday, June 12th at 7:30 p.m. The proceeds raised from this festival will go towards Can Survive Centre Malaysia, a non-profit organisation that provides counselling and support to patients who suffer from cancer as well as their family and friends. This is Front Row on the Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Heng. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.